Ecclesiology question 4. What authority, if any, does the church have over individuals and the counseling process? My response. Christ is the highest authority over the church. Ephesians 1 verses 22 through 23, Ephesians 4 verse 15, Colossians 1 verse 18. His revealed word is the tool that must be used in expressing that authority. The means by which God has chosen to deliver his truth to people is through gifted church leaders. God has given responsibility to these leaders to develop the purity and security of the church. They are to watch over the front door, the back door, and everything within the church. As a result of the role that they are given, believers are to, quote, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you, end quote. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Watching the front door means making sure those who enter church membership demonstrate true conversion and recognize the responsibilities and commitments to the body, including believers' baptism. Watching the back door refers to teaching the congregation to be sure that they are taking communion with the Lord in a worthy manner, except examining their stance before Him and dealing with sin in their hearts, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 34. These responsibilities are for the shepherds. Counseling, like preaching, is a ministry of the word and an integral part of pastoral ministry. The pastor is to disciple church members formatively, meaning preach, teach, and lead, and correctively, meaning rebuke, admonish, and excommunicate. The role of the brethren is clear in Scripture as well. All believers are given authority to be involved. The, quote, one another's, end quote, of Scripture explain the importance of being an interwoven family and body. Here are some summary commands that believers are exhorted to display with, quote, one another, end quote. Bear burdens, Galatians 6:2. Be at peace, Mark 9:50. Love, John 13:34. Devoted to, Romans 12:10. Same kind, Romans 12:16. Accept, Romans 15:7. Admonish, Romans 15:14. Serve, Galatians 5:13. Patience, Ephesians 4 verse 2. Truthful, Ephesians 4 verse 25. Kind, Ephesians 4 verse 32. Subject, Ephesians 5 verse 21. Regard, Philippians 2 verse 3. Forgiving, Colossians 3 verse 13. Comfort, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 18. Encourage, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11. Stimulate, Hebrews 10 verse 24. Confess sins, pray, James 5:16, and hospitable, 1 Peter 4, verse 9. To quickly summarize that, this is going off the topic of what I wrote. That would mean bear one another's burdens, be at peace with one another, love one another, be devoted to one another, have the same mind as one another, accept one another, admonish one another, serve one another, be patient with one another, be truthful with one another, be kind to one another, be subject to one another, regard one another as more important than yourselves, forgive one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, stimulate one another, confess sins to one another, pray for one another, and be hospitable to one another. Back to my response. Non-elders of the church are to do very little formative discipline. Though members of the body are not to excommunicate a member for discipline issues, they are still commanded to be actively involved in correctively admonishing one another and bearing one another's burdens. When the church is commanded to, quote, go and make disciples, end quote, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, it means to come alongside believers, new or old, and teach them. When the church encourages, serves, and teaches one another, the need for discipline becomes prevented. However, discipline is not meant to get rid of people. Church discipline in itself is about reconciliation. That is why there are so many steps laid out in Matthew 18, verses 12 through 20. As J. Adams writes, every believer in Jesus Christ has the right to be disciplined, end quote. Nobody, including the pastors, should be defensive over being confronted over their sin, since we are all sinners. The purpose for the church discipline procedure is to promote one-on-one interaction of brotherly love. It is in the case of arrogance, pride, and unteachable spirits that we see the process go to bringing along two or three witnesses, telling it to the church, and then ultimately excommunication. All of this is to involve the whole church in a biblical process of helping people through sin. It is so important that the church be pure that God gave many steps just in case it doesn't affect the person the first or second time. This is gracious. However harsh it may seem to some, this authority the Lord has given to the church is to disciple one another for the glory of the Lord and the purity of His church.